And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 85 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's going on, T-Rex?
I'm ready to be faked out this evening.
Faked out? Yeah, we'll definitely get to that because it'll be something interesting to talk about with Faker, revisiting him, but also something else about Faker. So that'll be kind of good. As for interesting new news, I can't really think I've seen anything. I know a lot of people have been getting the shipments from Shop Mattel for their Rotar and Twistoid. Do you remember? Because they said June 15th, the back orders would be in supply and stock. And so I guess a lot of people have been getting those. But can you think of anything that's been recent? That's a anything?
No, sadly, no. But honestly, I haven't really felt like a lot of the news we've gotten has been like interesting news or food for thought. It's been like news I'd rather not hear, or news that's like, what do you say?
Maybe they're just waiting for San Diego Comic Con. Hopefully they'll have a lot of stuff that they'll hit us with.
I'm not getting my hopes up, because last year, you know, when I mean, it was like the Great Depression after last year, because everyone thought we'd get something, some sort of big news about classics, and that was in that transition period where we didn't hear from either Mattel or Super 7 as to what the hell was going on. So given that burn from last year, I'm not getting my hopes up for anything, because I just kind of, you don't know what Super 7, what kind of schedule they're doing. You'd like to think that they would be making an announcement sometime soon. Guys, be on the lookout. We're going to be at San Diego. We got some reveals, some big news concerning some of our properties, especially He-Man Classics. But unless we get something to that extent, I'm just kind of hoping that we'll get, you know, exciting movie news at San Diego and or to some extent, because I'm kind of thinking we may not hear anything at all in San Diego this year.
Well, I think I'm hoping. You know, I mean, it's about a month away,
so
but I'm hoping
like to be positive. But like, I was so pissed last year. I mean, it was so bleak and depressing to go through that weekend constantly updating, checking. Did I miss something here? And nothing reported until January. It was just it sucked. Oh my God, I hated that so much. So I want to be proven wrong. Believe me, I want to be proven wrong so badly that this year they're going to tell us we're giving you KO, and we've worked out a deal that we should have the license for the movie to make figures from that, hopefully by the end of 2017, and we're going to do Dial-A-Mug. We're going to be re-releasing more Horror Troopers, and we're going to be doing this and that. It's going to be great, wonderful. Your nipples are going to get hard. We may get like some sort of jerk-off, you know, statement from people at Sony. People are really going to love the new He-Man movie. We're going to try and tie it into our new Venom movie as well. People, just, you know, something that's just going to piss me off and give people false hope.
Well,
I'm so Debbie Downer right now. I apologize to our listeners for this crummy opening here. Jeez.
It happens. But hey, for me, I'm hoping, and I really think that maybe they'll show something for the vintage 5.5-inch figures.
If we finally get an update on getting Hero and Eldor and this Powers of Grayskull toy line that we were teased.
I think we're going to see it. I do. I think we're going to see at least a Hero. If anything, maybe a Hero. I don't know about
Hero and Eldor. It's a long shot, so I'm not going to ask for that one. But I want another dinosaur. I want another dinosaur that either they put together like
they got to give us Gigantosaur. That's what they got to do.
I want Gigantosaur more than anything they can possibly throw at us. But I just feel like logistically speaking, I hate using that phrase because toy companies do it so much just to be, you know, overly, you know,
something like politically correct or some fancy terminology. Yeah,
like being politically correct in the toy world, where they're like, well, I have an answer for it, but I'm not going to tell you. So I'm going to give you an answer you don't want. But I just feel like when they're stepping out into this territory of giving us brand new or the vintage figures thought we were going to get, I'd like to think that, okay, test the waters. Give us a Stegosaurus. Give us a Ankylosaurus or something that's somewhat smaller in scale as opposed to Gigantosaur, which I feel like that's going to need like a massive pre-order to justify, you know.
What would you say, 150, if they were to do it? What do you think they'd price him at, 150?
If we were going to get, if they're going to do Gigantosaur the way he was intended to be, which is, what, 3 feet long?
He's a monster.
I'd say a deposit down of $100. Because I just feel like, you know, that's going to require a lot of tooling, because we don't, even though the figure was supposed to open up from the rib cage to kind of reveal a little bit of an interior, but you kind of feel like it's not going to look that like that pajama set where it's got Hero, I think Cyclone and He-Man coming out of the interior of Gigantosaur, which looks
like... It
looked
like a little advanced. That was a lot on that shirt.
Well, it looked like it was like the interior of, you know...
Of a base, a shop.
Like the Turtles van, you know, you got all this high-tech equipment and radar systems and stuff, whereas the actual prototype toy, you see the stomach opens up to appear like a gun that He-Man could sit at and fire when Gigantosaur...
And that's good enough for me. If they were to do them, I want them just like the prototype toy. I mean, that's what everybody wants. That's what we've been clamoring for.
But even that, I feel like that's going to require... It's a three-foot-long toy, people. I mean, it's bigger than Grayskull.
I think people have
gone... It's not as massive as Grayskull, but I think, I mean, it's still a humongous toy, and I...
It's gigantic. It's no pun intended, but I tell you what, that is the most... wanted out of everything that I've ever posted. When people said what they wanted the most of vehicles that are unreleased, Gigantosaur is the one. And picture that, because let's just imagine that we got more of the powers of Grayskull when we were a kid, and we got, you know, Hero, we got Eldor, we got Gigantosaur, some other figures. But you're right, I'm sure that they would have gave us more different dinosaurs with different kind of like weapons and gadgets, and nothing that comes from a technovirus. It's
children. Parents, dog, forgive me, but this technovirus bullshit. Sorry, but I hated.
Oh man, come on!
Hated that when that was being written into constantly in those crummy character bios the reason that these dinosaurs got these cool mechanical parts was due to a virus, and that somehow a Hero got sick from it too and was killed from that. It just makes you feel like, okay, you guys clearly don't like that character. And you got a boner for King Grayskull, so we're going to push the hell out of this character and pretend like we acknowledge the character that people have been pondering about for years and years and years since the early days of the internet, or if you got the little toy catalog that came with some of the figures, especially, I think, in South America, I believe. But, you know, I just feel like that is the... I can't believe what I'm saying.
You know, your rant, I was going to say, your rant deserved a picture of the Emperor. Just, I could feel the hate flowing within you. That's the picture we needed when you just went on and on, because I could feel
it. Well, if I knew it was being appreciated, then I could definitely look at Palpatine as he's enjoying. I can feel your anger. And I'm like, you know what? I don't mind shedding the dark side on this one. I'm going to unleash hell on that idea. I will gladly, you don't have to talk to me or coax me into it. I will gladly walk over to the dark side, shake everyone's hands, give everyone a nice, you know, pat on the back. Glad to be aboard, sir. If I'm just gonna, you know, unleash, you know, the fury of the dark side when it comes to that. I mean, I could rest better with King Grayskull being some sort of the mythology as I could, as opposed to the whole technovirus thing. That, because at least King Grayskull wasn't shoehorned into so many of those buys. It just felt like, dear God, man, how many times does this ridiculously made up idea that has like, I'm sorry, I have no history and I have not read anything, any hidden documentations from Mattel of what they had planned to do with the storyline. We've seen pictures of it in the Power and Honor Foundation book. I refuse to believe that those three mini comics that we got were supposed to be the definitive second and third issue of the pre-Eternia storyline, because, well, he was still on the second. So we all know that was not the intended storyline. It's just what the powers that be in charge at the time decided, you need what I tell you you need, and decided to piss all over Hero. We're going to push King Grayskull and everything else that's silly and you know, mind-blowing. So,
yeah, so to whatever could happen in the future, and if we did get a gigantic...
Tell me to shut up, because I feel like, I'm just like Terry. If I could tell the Terry, I would.
There you go. Take a break. But no, like I said, if Gigantus were to show up at $150 or $200, I'd be down for that. If they continue the line, it would be fantastic to show what could have been. And then maybe a new story if they had some, you know, a different set of writers of their take of what a part two and a part three could have been for the original one. Because that's what I think they should do. If anything, hopefully they could re-release the original Powers of Grayskull mini-comic with Hero and Eldor just to get people a little refreshed. And then if they started making other figures, then give a part two, a part three. And I just would love to see a take. Like Emiliano Santalucci, you know, he made some great fan stories, you know, when he did his Homecoming. You can see that guy's passionate. He has an eye and a mind for original stories. He would be somebody I would love to see. Like, what was your take? What would you like to do? You know, that would be cool.
Yeah, for those of you who are not familiar with this, Emiliano, this was back, I was in high school. I think I was in 11th grade when I came across this fan comic that he did. This was back in like probably like year 2000, maybe 2001, maybe. Somewhere in there, it was the early years of the internet, you know, relatively early years. But he had done a fan comic, a black and white fan comic. I think he did it, had done as a project for I think college or school or something like that. But it was a black and white comic book that essentially acknowledged everything that mostly that fans would expect from the events of the 87 movie, the events of He-Man going to the future and leaving everything behind. He-Man and Skeletor going to the future. And during that time, King Hiss makes an alliance to bring peace if he is allowed to, if Teela marries him, and she's the new sorcerer. She's wearing her snake armor and everything, is the guardian of Grayskull. So there's an alliance. I'm pretty sure this is how it's been a long time since I've read it, but pretty sure she ensures an alliance that war is over, and that the Horde and the Snake Men have made an alliance as well. So, but Hiss and them are in charge essentially, but they're maintaining a sense of peace as long as Teela, you know, continues to stay his wife. And it's a great epilogue. Like, he does this beautiful arc of seeing, you know, King Hiss sitting on Skeletor's bone throne from Snake Mountain. He gets squeezed there with him. You see the planet Starship Eternia come going to the future. And then when he comes back, like, the idea of He-Man is being completely dismissed and tarnished. And He-Man comes back with KO is like no one recognizes him. He's got long hair, long beard. They're sitting in a tavern. And like the legend of He-Man has been, you know, sullied. And Skeletor comes back as like this very kind of neutral nobleman. Like, he's there to kind of warn, like, Hiss, you know, He-Man's back. And he has a whole new look, but it looks very fitting. Like, it's what's good about this is that this fan project does not take liberties, does not go out of its way to change what fans already know. He doesn't change. I mean, Skeletor's outfit looks very, very cool. I mean, it's mm-hmm. If you look at it, I find hard pressed for people for this story. I feel like people would have a hard time arguing that. I mean, there's the Holosphere is acknowledged. There's a massive cosmic key. I mean, King Hiss is I mean, looks amazing in it. And in this story, Teela justifiably busts He-Man's balls because He-Man's pretty much lost all, you know, whatever happened in New Adventures. We're not given that in this story. But once they realize, you know, look, we have to take down King Hiss. We can't, Attorney can't continue to go on like this. So they had this meeting inside Grayskull with Teela and the various heroic warriors are there to try and talk, you know, Adam into like, look.
You know what? You should hold some of that, because I'll tell you what, we could always link and tell fans where to go, because okay, they would love to read this right themselves.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is by far the best fan project that I have ever seen. I mean, it's...
Yeah. And that's what I mean.
The dialogue is really good. The story is good from beginning, and it leaves it open for sequels. Many sequels.
And that's the thing. It's what you
just said. I'm done, Joe.
No. Hey, I mean, it was good. I mean, you spit it out. That's what you can do. But that's the thing. It's a fan that gave respect to, like you said, all the different types of mediums we had without twisting and changing it too much, without putting in dialogue that just didn't seem like it would fit in. But somebody that's a fan, that's when I always say, we really need fans working on these comics and properties to keep what we had alive.
And fans who have an edge for storytelling. I don't want someone who thinks it should be light and fluffy, and we can't make it too violent here, guys. I'm not talking about He-Man decapitating mortals and stuff like that. But I want to see some badasses running around broadswords in battle. As we said before, and Emiliano's take on this is very hard-edged, like not an obscene amount. But when it does not shy away from, you know, He-Man slashing horde troopers. Just, you know, I mean, even though they are robots, there is a part in the story that I think you'll see when you get to it, which I'm like, this looks great. People can't be pissing and moaning and saying, oh, it's too violent, man. It's like, well, then go back to 4-H camp, jerk off, because this is...
Well, but you can't win. Some say it's not violent enough. Some say they want more violence.
People want to sit there and say, I don't want to see violence in a He-Man. And like, you know what? You got no business being in charge of writing a He-Man story or telling people that they shouldn't. I mean, it's all a matter of opinion. I understand that. I have an opinion about this. But I just feel like if you're going to do something that people can get up and cheer, gives them goosebumps when they're looking at it and watching it, you do not want to see it. If people are slamming the Filmation cartoon because they felt like it wasn't ballsy enough, but the stories were damn good. Whereas MYP had great action, stories were not that good. Filmation had great stories, action, you know. But I understand the lack of action. It's not a knock on Filmation. I praise the hell out of it. People know that.
Like I said, it's having some type of knowledge of the properties from the past and even the present.
I'm really getting sidetracked. I'm doing an awful lot.
It happens. Like I said, it ain't no worries, but no. And that's what leads me to our next topic. We're going to revisit talking about Faker. And the reason that this is brought up is because of James Etok. I mean, you know, he's the keeper of the Filmation, you know, history and all the cells, the stories, the, you know, everything that the scripts, he has it all. Well, him and his buddy Dusan, I hope I said your name right. I apologize.
Dusan,
okay. They're working on the Return of Faker. And what they're doing is, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're trying to redraw almost everything in the way we've known, because he has all the cells, and I'm sure that I think they're redrawing it all, but they're using voice clips that we had from all previous episodes, because James is a genius. You know, he memorizes every little piece of dialogue. So they're taking real pieces of dialogue and just being very clever in how he's writing the story to make now Faker into this. And he showed a 1-minute preview opening of it on his Instagram page, and he's done it on Facebook, and I've shared it also. But it's something that's going to, again, pay respect to what we love from Filmation. And it's going to be, I think he said, a full episode. It's going to be 22 minutes, I believe. I think that's what he said. He said, if time allows, and this is going to be so cool for people to appreciate this, they might even try to do the Orko bumpers, you know, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back after these messages, you know, and then those, they might even try to do those back, which would be freaking awesome. So I love that he's doing this. I think did you see the one minute opening that he showed?
Absolutely. I saw it the minute it was posted.
And what did you think? Because like I said, I was just getting chills because I was like, man, this is genius. It's genius. I love it.
I mean, I did not question. Prior to any of this, the minute James announced he was going to take on this project, I'm like, I got nothing to worry about. You didn't feel like, you know, this was going to be a fan project where you're like, dude, this guy's a hack. He's got no business trying to make this grandiose project. I'm like, dude, you know, you got no business. James, I'm like, you know, if I had to pay for it, James, I will gladly send you, you know, a check or money order, whatever you need to ensure this happens. I you know, much like Emiliano, I trust James Etok immensely with, you know, because it's been talked about for years that, you know, even there was an original Faker script that I don't know how deep the script was, but an episode of the original cartoon that was called Faker that was going to be an episode about Faker that never came to fruition. So it's and this is probably arguably the biggest probably requested thing as to, like, we never got Faker in a cartoon. There's tons of characters that either, if they appeared, you probably wish they hadn't because they weren't treated with any dignity. But Faker was given an appearance and people were just... And I never questioned why it wasn't the blue, because it just felt like Filmation wanted to make sure the kids knew the difference between the two. And it was like an afterthought. It was like, quickly, hey, Paul Dini, make sure you throw in this Faker character, you know, it just felt like it was a last-minute decision, which is
a question real quick. I mean, you know, because it's It's something that when I was growing up, I never really paid attention to because, you know, of course I watch the cartoon, I get all the toys, but I couldn't remember if I had the Faker toy first or seen him in the cartoon first. I didn't know which was, you know, conceptualized first. I was never quite sure. I haven't asked around. You figure, Joe, you wouldn't have asked around, but I don't know. Do you know which was first, the toy or the cartoon?
No, the toy came out in the very first wave and it was completely forgotten. So, and the cartoon came out in 83. So 82 was 82, 81, and certain aspects. I feel like that's always kind of up for debate whether it's 81 and 82. But Faker was part of the first wave of figures, part of the original eight backs, and then, you know, dropped immediately after that. So, but it made sense why he appeared in the cartoon, one of the earlier episodes, the Shaping Staff, because he was one of the original.
Oh, he was in the eight backs? I can't remember if it was eight back or 12 back, or he was an eight back?
I'm pretty, God. Now you're really going to have me second guessing here.
I
what I wouldn't give to have one of those Lee Toy Review Price guys, because they always had Faker listed. That's one of my earliest memories of seeing what figures came out what year before I had the internet. And they had them listed by 82, 83, 84 waves. Faker was always listed in the 82 wave.
I always thought he was 83, but I could be absolutely wrong. But I guess
let's see, because I mean, we're looking at He-Man, Skeletor, Stratos, Teela, Man-at-Arms, Beastman, Merman, Zodak. Maybe he's not in the 8-back cards, but I could have swore he was released in 82. I really
it's possible. Could have been towards the end. I mean, well, I guess the reason
I'm bringing this up. But 83 is very possible, too, because he was packaged with, I think, like the Magic Steel or something like that. And I guess, well, since was all right, forgive me here for this. This is kind of like an awful, awful, but was Zodak was not featured in any of those any comics, though, was he?
No, Zodak was just in the Alcala for the record.
Yeah, that's what makes me think that Faker was part of that, because I'm like, he wasn't the only character to not be featured in those mini comics. Like everybody else except Zodak and Faker were not featured.
Okay, well, I guess the reason, you know, like you said, we're bringing this all up and what James is going to do with having the blue Faker is, you know, when you think back then, okay, the toy, you have a blue-looking He-Man with Skeletor's armor. And you know this is the evil robot of Skeletor. Yes, he looks like He-Man, but he's a Faker. So as a toy, it's cool. Now when you flip it over to the side of the cartoon, we're trying to understand that in the cartoon, they have him looking just like He-Man, except glowing white eyes. But that's to really create the illusion of they're trying to fake somebody. It's a Faker. It's, you know, they think it's He-Man, but it's not. But if they would originally had him, let's say in the cartoon he debuted, and you see a blue He-Man with orange Skeletor armor, nobody's going to say, hey, He-Man. They're going to be like, okay, that looks like He-Man, but it's not. They immediately know it's a Faker. So it's like, I guess for the cartoon, it worked for him looking like that. But then let's flip it back to the toys again. Some people always wondered, well, why didn't the toy look like He-Man? It's like, would you have wanted that? Think of this. Would you have wanted a Caucasian-looking He-Man with the only difference being white pupils on a card back and it says Faker? And that would be your Faker? Because when you look at them, you know, all carded, they're looking exactly the same. You'd have to get, like, right up to see, oh, his eyes are, you know, glowing or white. So I can understand why it works for the toy and understand why it worked for the cartoon the ways they did it. So this is why I'm so intrigued. Like, what is James going to do? What is his story with this Faker? Is he immediately just, obviously, people are going to know from the get-go, okay, obviously this ain't He-Man, but it's faking and it's acting like him, but maybe have some strength. Or is he going to try to trick him? I don't know what James has planned, but I'm so intrigued. I mean, I don't know if you think like I do, but I always have things spinning in my head like, what's the story going
to
be?
I'd really just to think it would look really cool is that a spell is cast on once Skeletor creates Faker. You see the blue skin, Skeletor armor, casts a spell on the skin color. And then He-Man, it looks like he's walking around in an evil Skeletor armor as if like, well, that's He-Man, but he's not wearing his usual power harness. And he's going around, you know, flipping over wagons of hay and scaring off, you know, small farmers and going into taverns and, you know, tearing the place apart. And it clearly looks like He-Man except the armor, you know. And it just would be cool to see the Filmation He-Man wearing the Faker armor.
As you know,
Faker. And then, of course, the spell wears off. and the hair changes, the armor color changes, or I mean not the armor, the armor would still be either like the pink, the hot pink, or orange, whatever you and whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But it would just
look cool to justify like, well, that clearly looks like He-Man, but he's wearing the faker armor. I to me that would look really cool.
And it would, and that's why I said I'm just so curious as what he's going to do, because remember one of the Star Marvel comics, you remember they had Faker as a Caucasian, and I think he had.
Well, I remember he's got blue skin, but he's got blonde hair. It was Faker with blue skin, but he had the blonde hair, which kind of felt like
the guys need to finish
coloring Faker. You got the hair.
Well, was it a panel, a page, or am I cracking up? But I swear there was some comic I looked at where they had Caucasian-looking He-Man, but like the purple or orange skeletal armor. Like it was all mismatched and bizarre. But I couldn't remember if it was a panel in a comic or
I don't. I'm not. I feel like that Star comic. I think that's the only because that's the only time Faker showed up.
And was that the one with Ninja on the cover?
Huh.
Was that the one with Ninjor on the cover and everything?
Ninjor and Blast Attack on Blast Attack. By He-Man, yeah.
God, I'm going bananas trying to figure it.
Well, I actually had glanced at a few things from that Star comic, and I mean, when you see him, he's blue skin, blonde hair, and the purple Skeletor armor.
Yeah, that was okay. Maybe that was one of the images too. For
but
some
it
reason,
it looks cool. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit there and say. Colors ain't right, man. This is like it takes me out of it. You know, it's like no, it looked really cool. I mean, it's you have to forget it. The kids who watch and read these have to know immediately that that's the fake He-Man. That's you know, it just feel like because they are marketing towards you know 4 and 5 year old boys, you don't want to try and confuse them to death. They're kids. So you're going to make it a little bit obvious so that way the kids know before He-Man knows. You're like, no, that's Faker, that ain't He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just storytelling for kids, for people to get so bent out of shape. I mean, even if this has Faker running around with his blue skin, I'm like, I'm not going to question it because that's Faker.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit there like, man, he needs to be Caucasian and trick everybody. Like, no, whatever James wants to do with this is going to be perfectly fine with me. But to finally see Faker in his true colors and Filmation style cartoon, you know, I am sold. You know, it's
much like
bank guaranteed.
Like, let's say you picture like even how it starts off. It could start off where he could look, you know, however the story is. But I know in this one, you see him powering up and just giving Faker life, almost like Frankenstein in a way. But I could picture that, let's say, any of the stories where they'd first show Faker, he could look just like He-Man, but eventually then once you know the cat's out of the bag, and okay, now you're just going to be the blue robot, now you're going to have the different armor, now you have the different hair color, you know, it would just, it's like, what was it, I think it was in the UK, one of the UK stories, they did have something, I think he appeared in two of them where they tried to talk about his story, but he wasn't Faker, he was the Faker, and I think he would appear normal looking like He-Man, then after a while he started flashing and changing, then his blue would come on, and I think he even had a different look, like he could even be Prince Adam. I only read one of the UK stories for Faker, not the other, and I know Aiden Cross is an expert at all of things coming to those UK comics, but Faker has always had some type of different thing in a lot of different mediums. Even the Golden Books, where you had the giant one of evil warriors. What was cool about those is it wasn't just a page where it had this beautiful piece of art. On the other side, it had like an origin story and a bio. So the Book of Evil Warriors, it had a different Faker. This Faker is sitting on a table. Skeletor's working on him. You see Faker's arm is off the table. He's wearing He-Man's armor in orange. And you see the sticker underneath. It was just a genius thing, but Skeletor's repairing him. And on the back, it had a little story and a bio for him. So it seems like, you know, like you said, no matter what medium you went to back then, they kind of had little twists on Faker's story that, you know, you could find kind of interesting, or at least how he debuts.
Well, I often feel like that Faker, like a lot of them, was not giving a legitimate story. It's just like he's an evil robot version of He-Man. That's all we've got. And so anybody who decides to include him in their story, like, pretty much has got free range to kind of come up with whatever origin they want because, you know, when Stratus is shown with the evil warriors in the very first, you know, He-Man mini comic, you feel like all bets are off. You could say that, you know, whatever you want about Faker, and I mean, I even after the Faker episode is completed and y'all know it's a fake robot. I'd still like to see Faker walking around Snake Mountain as kind of like a golem, kind of like a just a robot servant to Skeletor, like a thug, a henchman, an evil warrior, no different than what, you know, Beastman and Triclops is. You know, just like, you know, Beastman, take Faker, you know, go to the Sands of Time, you know, and tell Negator I want him to come see me at Snake Mountain. Use him because it looks cool. Like, forget the fact that, you know, okay, the cat's out of the bag. We know it's a robot. He looks cool. He can sword fight because he's got an orange sword. I'm like, why not make use of that? Make him a permanent evil warrior that you want to see hanging around the council table, and that anybody can command him. You know, if Evil Inn needs three guys, take Faker. You know, he's not going to sit there and dispute commands. He'll go out and he'll break into the Widget's fortress and steal Corridon if he's told to.
Because, you know, I've always had an idea. I'll just run with this for a second. It might sound stupid to some, but this is like an idea that I had, that if they were to ever give like an origin to Faker, and you could picture Skeletor trying to figure a way to stop him, and he cannot meet his, you know, match his power, no matter what he does. So maybe during one of the battles, whether it was with a blade, something else, maybe he got a little drop of blood on his sword, the tip of his sword, a lock of hair, whatever. Skeletor thinks maybe, you know, like he could clone in a way, maybe a warrior to work for him and have He-Man's power. So with the magic, you know, his mystical magics and stuff, he'd take that little drop of blood of the hair and try to create. But every time he creates this kind of warrior, the bodies get sick quickly and they just decompose, fall apart. Like maybe it doesn't work. He can't get it right. He's like, I just can't get this to work. And then something clicks. Maybe I could use, you know, flesh and robotics. Maybe I can come, you know, make a cyborg that could possibly do this. So when he does it, it creates like this He-Man. It looks like He-Man. It has robotic parts, but while it keeps some of the power, it doesn't have full potential because, you know, this power that he possesses, it's obviously this robot can not have at all. But that's the only way maybe he could flesh and maintain is to have some flesh, some robotics. So Faker is a very strong warrior, maybe one of Skeletor's strongest warriors, still can't match He-Man, but is enough to get a battle to where if he's in battle with He-Man, let's say hypothetically, you know, He-Man, since he's human, can get tired, and you know he doesn't have the, you know, he has more stamina than normal people, but when he's fighting Faker's not going to get tired, but He-Man will. So even though He-Man can still outpower, maybe just a battle can ensue that would be longer. You know, your head just starts to spin. I always try to think what would be cool.
Well, playing off of that too, I would love to see like a continuation or even origin story where Faker is like the Terminator, where he is created for one mission, and one mission only is to destroy He-Man. And to see this character running through, taking out anybody in his path, and just strictly coming after He-Man, and you know he's torn apart, and then you see him rise out of like a fiery rubble, and you see the, you know, like the face all torn up, just like the Horseman gave us, to some extent, you know, where it's like he's just a mindless killing machine, you know, so to speak. You know, this. To make use of that awesome tape recorder sticker that's on his chest that I thought was so cool as a kid, that he would be like the sound wave of Skeletor Evil Wars. Like he would be hiding in the trees recording and listening to a discussion between He-Man and Man-at-Arms.
Have a purpose for that thing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, hiding in the woods, just listening. I mean, not like unless you're going to do like, you know, he could change color or some nonsense, which is like, no, don't do that. But I just like the idea, make use of that tape recorder that he's got, where he can record something and then play it back, and Skeletor can use that, or he's constantly using Faker to spy on stuff and listening through the tape recorder on his chest back at Snake Mountain. You know, all right, Buzz off a Mechanicker on reconnaissance. They're leaving that area open. All right, Clawful, Jitsu, you head out that way while they're gone. And just using Faker always, making use of him.
Yeah,
not just
add to him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Many episodes, not just one episode.
You're right. I mean, but no, it would just add to his character in general. Like you said, making use of that recorder. But along the lines of when you were talking about, like, let's say he was thrown into some kind of like fiery acids or lava or whatever and gets out and he's all burned. What I would like about my idea about, like I said, with this flesh and magic and robotics all merging together is, let's say he did get all his face like burnt off, but then with the robotics, it's like nanites would start repairing, whatever you want to call them, and his flesh would come right back. Like basically the only person that could stop Faker
So you're kind of making like T-1000, where he's constantly regenerating himself.
Something like that. It would just be cool just to see him repairing, not to where then, oh, now he's, you know, oh, he's all screwed up looking. He has to go back and get fixed and soldered by, you know, tripods.
I'd like to think that he's self-sufficient enough that if he, you know, had a malfunction by running into something, you know, during a big chase, his right arm is all, you know, mangled, so he can stop. You know, engage this program in, you know, in his, you know, his learning computer.
I'd love to see him repair. Just,
yeah, just like so like how the Terminator, like in the first Terminator, when Arnold's in this hotel room and he's repairing it, the forearm, he's tweaking it so it's functioning properly, taking out the eyeballs and putting on sunglasses, making adjustments to keep up with the mission. I mean,
yeah, because basically, He-Man would be
steal from the best here, and people to see Faker doing that kind of stuff. I mean, can you imagine how many hard nipples there would be if they're watching Faker walking himself like Arnold's Terminator in the first Terminator? This evil machine tweaking himself, looking around, and you know, surveying the situation. I mean,
check this.
The possibilities are endless here.
Taking all the, like I said, different origins. Well, picture this. Picture the Leo version of Faker. You know how that one has the black kind of thing around of his eyes? It almost looks like a mask, and then the red. Picture like what? Maybe the Leo toy. You've seen the Leo Faker, didn't you? I don't, have you ever seen the Leo version?
Here we are again. Joe's like, you've seen the Leo figure. He's from Guatemala. The Leo figure.
Okay.
It was only
well, a lot of well,
three countries here.
Okay, well, you might not, but a lot of people may have seen the Leo figure. And this one has...
It's been a while since Joe has done that to me.
Okay, well, I honestly thought you did, because I almost... Well, I'm not going to say everybody. Well, anyways, he has this black kind of like mask around his eyes, and I think there's red in there also. But I could almost picture then, if they wanted to give an homage to that, maybe when he would go into some like super, you know, sight mode to see something in the dark, you would see kind of like, you know, the eyes go red, the black go around. It would just be ways of taking...
That would look cool. I mean, there's... That it just shows you how malleable this character is. I mean, you could really do a whole lot with him. I mean, it's a shame that Faker was given one quick, you know, appearance in the shaping staff, acknowledged for a second in MYP, and that's it. And you just kind of feel like, oh, come on, man, there's so much you could do with this. So that's why they had to put Yumi in charge of writing new He-Man stories.
Yeah, sorry, had a little connection problem. I had to fix that. But no, yeah, I just think it would just be fantastic to see what could be done with Faker for him to come back if they were to, you know, again, ever with a new cartoon. Definitely get him right out of the box to be in there. You know, because James, there's only so much of him and Doosan, you said, was it Doosan?
Yeah.
There's only so much the Tulls 2 could, hey, there you go. All right. Dirt just popped that up. Do you see that? Wait, hold on, I'll wait for him to pop it up so you can see.
Okay, yeah, I was not familiar with that.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's a nice variant, but
it does
like
look,
I said,
I do like that. And
yeah, you know, leaving a little touch of green. It's like even a touch of green over the red. But I just think, like I said, just to give an homage just to everything, to bring him back. Because, again, there's only so much that James and Doosan can do with, you know, their skills to make one cartoon. I mean, because some fans were like, oh, my God, does this mean there's going to be more? Are you guys going to do a lot of this stuff? But they can only do so much. I know they'd love to do more, but I can't.
Well, I'm hoping to God that James has managed to throw in a cameo of Lizard Man in this cartoon here. Whether Lizard Man is hanging out in the rock garden somewhere, or he's, you know, just walks by and says, what's going on, Adam? And then just walks right out of frame. I mean, like, I just want to see Lizard Man show up in this cartoon.
Well, it would be nice. Is it going to happen? Probably not, but
probably
it
not.
Would be great. So
if I'm going to be like Joe Amato, I'm going to be like, come on, guys, it's Lizard Man. He's got to show up.
Yeah, that's how I guess so. I'm always trying to be, what do you say, polypractical? Is that your
polypractical
version?
Polypractical.
All right. Well, that was our discussion on, you know, Faker, because it all spawned from James and the return of Faker that will be coming out hopefully in a couple months. Can't wait till when it comes out. It'll be great. So you can always check out, look up James.
I would love if James came up with like VHS box art for like the Faker episode. Like with the,
I'm sure he's going to. There's,
I mean,
no doubt.
For American audiences, release it in the RCA Columbia House or Magic Window. Just an image, not an actual, but it would just look. And then of course for the UK, because they had VHS over there too, big time. It would just be cool. Like, what would the Faker box artwork look for the VHS tapes? Oh boy, it'd be so cool.
I bet he'll do it. And plus, I would like it if it could, you know, if he could get the big old clamshells, you know, the big clamshells.
That magic window was the clamshell releases when they re-released the first wave, and then all the second wave of VHS tapes was the big white clamshell. And then on the back, you have to have three images. James, you got to give us three images from the episode of Faker. Oh man, it would be even greater.
Wait, how about this? You know how you said that you got some of your videos and they would show images on the back that had nothing to do with what was in the show? Like, where there was...
Oh, God. It used to drive me nuts. Like, well, what does that mean?
That's what he's got to do. We got to give him this idea. You asked for Lizard Man? He could do that. He would show Lizard Man on the back in a different pose.
I would settle for that. If he throws Lizard Man in some sort of meeting with Prince Adam, Man-at-Arms, and Stratton.
And it's not even in the cartoon.
Yeah, not even in the cartoon. I'm like... Oh man, how cool is that, dude? It happened on something.
We'll shoot him that idea. We'll have to give him that idea because I think that would definitely be awesome. That would be fantastic.
That'd be pretty magical.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, our last discussion. Now, this is what's. I brought this up. You know what's funny? How we did Caverns of Fear and how we were spitballing back and forth. And you're telling me, Joe, you know, I remember the VHS stuff. And I'm like, I remember the record one. And you're like, well, there was this. There's always those differences. Well, it brings me to a book from the UK. And it's one of the Lady Bird books. And it's He-Man and the Lost Dragon. Well, there you go. He-Man and the Lost Dragon. Well, it's not actually a dragon. It's, I think, a Stegosaurus or whatever it was in the story, but it's Hordak who's wanting to try to find a way to finally stop Skeletor and He-Man and what could be done. Grislor, you know, says there's like something out in these mountains in this valley and it's all sorts of creatures and you know, it's basically going to try to bring out some dragons, but it's only one Stegosaurus. So through the story, they're trying to figure a way of stopping this, controlling it, getting it out of there because Hordak wants to do his invasion. But this is what's interesting to me is... There's the book that when you read it, you know, it's a pretty cool read. I mean, you can picture when you were younger, you're reading, you'd be into the story because you're using your mind to create these voices. Well, this is what brings me to something like what Tyler said when I was talking about the voices that were done for the old record books that I listened to, but he was used to the VHS ones. You know, if you're somebody that listened to these, it's kind of painful depending on what your first experience was. If your first experience was He-Man and the Lost Dragon on YouTube listening to this narrator, oh my God, it takes you out of the story. It really takes you out because it's like this guy, I don't know, there might have been a couple, but it's like he would, like, for an example, do King Randor. Hello, I am King Randor, then I am He-Man. It's like it's the same voice, but enunciated higher, lower, a little this, and then he tries his voices, but it's like there's no like, you know, I am Skeletor, overlord of evil, you know, nothing like that. You're not getting real interesting voices. You're just kind of getting these, you know, half-crapped voices. And so I'm asking you, I gave you the link to YouTube, but I didn't know if you wanted or if you read it first or if you went to the YouTube one. What did you do? Did you do YouTube and just listen to this guy, or did you hit mute? I'm curious.
No, I went to YouTube and muted it, because the minute I heard the guy's voice, I said, how the hell with this, man? So I would pause it, read the pages, and go through it like that. I was like, I'm not going to listen to this guy.
So you didn't suffer through it. You didn't suffer through it.
Because
I read
this. Like, this guy's just phoning it in. He's not trying. I mean, and look, it's not an issue of... I didn't have this when I was a kid, so I can't appreciate it. Because the things that I emphasize in this podcast that I say I liked as a kid, a lot of it has just gotten better and still holds up. And there's episodes and things that I didn't like as a kid that I like as an adult. So I don't want people to think that had I had this on a record or a cassette tape and listened to it, I would. And I've had access to, I think, one He-Man cassette tape book as a kid, and I didn't like the tape. I just thought it was cool to like read it and use that to tell the story, but I did not like the tape. I'm like, this sucks. It's just I felt like you have such a high standard for what these voices are supposed to sound like when you got some guy that's just getting a quick paycheck and just not even trying and just kind of phoning it in. You feel like, you know what? It's like that scene in Wayne's World 2 when he's like, you know, I know it's a short scene, but I think we can do better. And then they bring in Charlton Heston to replace the gas attendant. That's what's going on here, is they got this, you know, generic guy who's not even trying. We need Charlton Heston to step in and narrate these He-Man stories here. So I did not go through that. I'm surprised they didn't call this book Masters of the Universe, Dinosaurs Are Dumb.
Yeah, I didn't
Dear
like that because,
God, man. It's just like,
you know, it was even more painful.
Don't want to hear that dinosaurs are dumb, because when you're growing up at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, dinosaurs are as terrifying as an anaconda snake or a great white shark. You do not want to hear, you know, oh, they got the brain the size of a peanut, the birds are stupid. They make it sound like dinosaurs just like walk into walls all the time. And you know,
I didn't enjoy that either, because for fans who've never read this or haven't heard it, you know, no matter which way you're going to experience this, you can go to YouTube and you can just type in He-Man and the Lost Dragon. You'll be able to listen to it, or you can hit mute. Because when I read the book, you know, interesting read. They did a lot of things where they kept talking. Like, Teela's the first one that talked about how the dinosaurs
and
were.
And Teela is probably the hottest I've ever seen her look.
Yo, she does. I like that. But yes, she's the one that talked about it being done. Then the narrator would do it. And they kept saying it over and over. And I was like, okay, they got to be leading up to something. They got to be leading up to, okay, they're calling this guy dumb the whole time and something. But nothing ever happened. I didn't understand the purpose of it. And you're lucky, like I said, you hit mute. Because if you listen to how when the narrator did it, it made it worse. It made it, for me, not an enjoyable read. Because when I read this years ago, I enjoyed it. I was like, interesting. Some parts, sure, you can always question. But listening to this was wretched. And also, like, you hear the imp. It's not just imp. There's imps with an S. Like, Hordak has imps, and he uses one to do something for him. I did like the fact that they showed at one part when they're trying to communicate with the Stegosaurus that Teela uses her cobra staff to communicate, because that's something that I've heard in other, like, books about.
Well, they kind of hint into that in the early stories too, that Teela can communicate with animals, correct?
Yeah, so that, I believe so. That's why I like that she got to use a cobra staff. But then something that confused me later was then Man-at-Arms invented something to implant onto the dinosaur so Teela could communicate with it. I was like, wait, did I miss something, or is that for everybody to hear? Because Teela already communicated with that Stegosaurus with the cobra staff. So
I'm sure Man-at-Arms like, look, man, I got to get my new gadget of the day, you know, into the story here, people.
Yeah, so I got to hear what's going on. But no, this dinosaur is just scared. So like I said, it's not even a dragon. What just jumped in? I thought something happened. Oh, never mind. Okay, well, like I said, it's not even a dragon. It's a dinosaur. The dinosaur's in a village. It's, you know, messing things up. But it's hungry. It's scared. It just wants to get back where it has to go. So eventually they try to get it across this chasm, or, you know, this, like, rocky bridge, but it's real shaky. And, of course, you know, Skeletor shows up because he figures, I could use this thing to, you know, fight with me, because look how big it is. It's weird. We're talking about Gigantosaur earlier and just about, you know, dinosaurs, but wants to get it across. But then, of course, he tries to stop it. Then Hordak comes again. It's just, it was a lot of back and forth with just them trying to one stop the other. But either way, they finally get this dinosaur to go one way. And I think they try to trick Hordak into shooting at them. They get out the way with all their Wind Raiders. It hits a rock, blocks the chasm. And now the dinosaur is trapped back in the Mystic Mountains. Was it the Mystic Mountains? I couldn't really remember where it was.
It was the Lost Valley, I believe, in the Mystic Mountains.
Okay, so he got the...
Kind of sound like it was referencing Land of the Lost almost, or, you know, Land Before Time, maybe. Well, of course, Land Before Time came after this, so... But
yeah, so that's what's interesting, like I said, about these, the ways you can always be introduced to something from audio or reading, because I suggest people to read this, and if you go to YouTube, do what Tyler did, just hit mute, read it, see if you enjoyed it, then if you want, go back and the sound, it's too bad, because I like their interpretation.
Why would you want people to go back and listen to it with the sound?
Yeah. Because I want them to hear how
it, you know, you don't like it, I don't like it. All right, everybody, go read it on mute, and then go back and listen to how bad the narrating is. You know, for your own listening pleasure.
Sometimes I admit I'm a glutton for punishment, and I like listening.
And everybody else should be just as bad as you are.
It's just as bad. Just if you're just doing something, maybe you're just, I don't know, cleaning up. You want to hear something in the background? It's just like when he's. I mean, Montana has one of the just most dying, low voices that you'd ever hear. Poor Grizzlor has these weird pauses. I like how they drew Modulok. Modulok had a weird, just, I don't know, grizzly
That
look.
I was everybody looked good. I appreciate everybody. I mean, even Hordak looked like Filmation, but with
But
but the
gray.
toy colors. But Modulok's where
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
got these real skimpies. I mean, he looked like a real like the 80-pound weakling in the old ads for like, you know, hey, you can be a muscle man if you take this. I mean, he looked so and not like skinny and like creepy. He stood upright like a very skinny young man with the two heads and his little tail sticking out. It just looked so awkward and you know.
It was strange. I think obviously they were using the toy probably for inspiration because if you notice, he even has his gun. You know how the gun could split apart one time he
But
gets
it's
hit and the
just
gun goes.
so they got everybody else looking like the toy counterpart, but Modulok is looks like this very, I mean, even though Modulok is a skinny you know, creature, you just feel like you make him look like a 14-year-old swimmer or something like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look right compared to everybody else.
Yeah, because
I'm
I was
not
trying
giving
to
that
find.
I'm not giving it a pass, Joe.
Well, hey, you don't have to get it
I
past.
mean,
I
I'm talking
think.
about Modulok. I'm not giving him a pass.
No, I know you're not. I know that's what you meant. I think, like I said, what they were doing was, for me, it looks like they took the toy, and obviously the toy, you know, when it's segmented into his crotch and other parts, it's a little weird. So they took out the segmentation, if that's even a word. I don't know if it wasn't, it is now. Jill just made up segmentation. But they took that
Copyright.
out. Yeah, copyrighted right now on Fans of Power, segmentation, Joe Mata. But what they did was you could tell the arms are the same, the legs are the same because it has that green kneecap and the little stripe on his foot. But what they did is you remember how Modulok, when he would stand, obviously with his bow legged. It was like he's all bow legged and weird. He couldn't have that nice stretch. So if you look, and I'm gonna try to get I guys, I can't see where the hell I'm at. Hold on. Can you see anything? Can you see Modulok or
Yeah,
no?
we see his skinny little girly legs.
Okay, so you see the legs and you see the arms. It looks like they really were just trying to take the
Now we're looking
toy.
at Hordak's crotch.
Yeah, now it's cracked. Well, it looks like I think they were. Yeah, I did have that kind of low on just the legs. I noticed that. Well, I think they were just trying to take the toy and obviously draw it into a way to where it looked like he could walk like a normal person instead of having some weird squatty back and forth way of walking. So. That really was toy inspired. If you look, this is the toy. It is the toy of Modulok, but just taking out the kind of weird way he would be posed. Even the tail is a tail. So I kind of enjoyed it. I liked it myself. It was kind of gross and grotesque. And that one head always reminded me of a ghoulie. I've said this before with the other Modulok that was drawn on a mini comic, but he looks like one of the ghoulies. You remember the ghoulies, don't you? Probably can't see. I don't even know where
Yeah,
I'm
I'm
at.
thinking of like the VHS cover where the little green one sticking out of the toilet.
Yeah, that's what he reminds me of, that the one head. So I mean I like how they all look. Like I said, it wasn't art that was hurting your eyes. It was interesting art,
No,
a
the
story.
artwork was quite good, and Cheever fans can certainly appreciate that Hordak is spot on Filmation, but with the vintage toy colors, which was
Yeah.
pretty cool. I had never seen that. Like, oh, I mean, Hordak's face is right off Filmation, but with the gray and black color scheme, it looks really badass like that.
It does. And you know what's even funnier is now that I looked further ahead in the story on some pages, I don't know if it's just the coloring in my book, but then he kind of looks bluish. Not the dark blue that we know from, you know, Filmation, but he almost looked like they made him blue. But so, I mean, if you guys are wanting to look at something that's, you know, like I said, very nice art. I love the art. Story can be questionable, you know, depending on how you're, you know, introduced to
Well,
it.
it's just I didn't feel the story was doing anything. I mean, it's not like the trap, you know, where it's just kind of a really goofy story that's just like, all right, you guys clearly don't know how to do it to tell even a simple children's story. Whereas this one, I felt like, you know, I thought they did a good job, except the constant slamming of dinosaurs. I just felt like, man, this is stupid how they just
And they
keep
did it
slamming.
a lot. They said that a
Yeah,
lot.
at least 2 to 3 times. I mean, it's capitalized. Stupid, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is, but
It was
that
capitalized.
I thought was a little irritating. But other than that, the Skelcons make an appearance in
Yes.
this.
Yes.
It's a brief appearance, but they're in there for fans of those. And it Rotan's in it, and all the original Horde members, and Hordak's throne looks like Filmation as well. And even the ship they're flying around in is very reminiscent of one of the many Horde ships in the She-Ra cartoon. So there's references for a lot of He-Man and She-Ra fans in this book. I think everybody can appreciate. So, and like I said, Teela has never looked hotter than she does in this book. I don't know what it is. When she's leaning in against that window sill, like, it looks like He-Man's flexing his back. So it's like she's kind of back and taking it all in while Man-at-Arms is stretched to listen to the game plan.
Yeah, like right there. That really is a nice picture, how they...
My gosh, I mean, that puts any... other than the live-action movie version of Teela, man, that is the hottest version of Teela the world has ever seen.
They did. I really like the pose. I mean, it is... I mean, they drew her really
that's
well.
What you want to see walking into a throne room by the windowsill. It's like she's pretty much telling He-Man, I want it. Give it to me. And he's like, well, you'll get it. Just like she's letting you know, once we're done for the day, you meet me by this windowsill later tonight.
Meet me by the windowsill.
That Teela is probably not the ball buster. Well, she's too hot to be in He-Man. He-Man definitely would be, he would be succumbing to temptation to that version of Teela.
Oh, agreed. And also, like you said, when you talk about Hordak looking just absolutely filmation perfect, it's always great, because you've never really seen Imp in anything, really. I mean, you never seen him drawn in anything if it wasn't from the cartoon. So they do this Imp, and he's kind of like a little furry in the face. They give him seem like a little extra little fur. But, I mean, man, I love their interpretation. I mean, I just love it because it looks basically just like Imp, just a little, furred-like. But Hordak looks perfect. And, yeah, you guys, I'm telling you guys have to go to YouTube or just one way or another. Just get this book. It is a really good book. Like I said, all stories can be questionable to some degree, but it's a good read.
I love how Joe does not is like Joe tries to defend any kind of flaw that there might be in this book, or any other time Joe is trying to destroy and dismantle a simple A, B, and C battle story, and trying to like should have used the wind reader there. Why is he doing that? Why is that? And you're like. I guess Poly Practical's just checked out this evening here because Joe's on a rampage of like, Joe, that's what I do on the show. I tear things apart. Whereas you're supposed to be the public defender. You're supposed to be coming into court. You're the court appointed attorey trying to defend this sin against this wonderful property and mythology here. But I guess you can become like the crooked attorney. You're like you can be like the Johnny Cochran if you want to and start pointing out and saying, this book did nothing wrong. This book has been immorally judged,
See?
And then Joe calls me a racist or something like that, or whatever crazy way of trying to defend his client.
Hey, that's what I mean.
That's what we are. We are Night Court. That's what we are. This podcast is. It's a version of Night Court. I don't know which. I guess I'd probably be the sleazy John Larroquette. I'm not going to say you're Corky or whatever her name is, the blonde. I don't know. Maybe you can be Bull. That's what you are. You're Bull.
I'm the muscle, huh? I'm the guy that stands in the background.
Who's the evil gym coach and sidekicks? That's Joe.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Keep crawling, keep climbing, lady.
Uh-huh.
Sidekick fans know what I'm saying when I say that line.
That's a good movie. Sidekicks, that's a great movie. But... All right, well, that's that for this, for the story then. So, first, I want to go to Dirt to see if he has any takeaways for the episode before we go to you, T-Rex.
I've only got two things for you. First of all, you can have Faker be flesh-colored because anybody can figure out if he's real or not as long as they have sight. Sight beyond sight. It's the perfect crossover story.
Uh-oh, there you go.
So the people at DC clearly did not know what the hell they were doing, and this continues to prove the point.
The only other
thing that, we came up with a fantastic crossover of Thundercats and He-Man right there. So, Douglas, that's why he is a genius on this show.
And the only other thing I got is just if it's Father's Day and you go out and you eat like 5 pounds of pizza, with a lot of grease and cheese and all that tasty stuff on it. Be prepared to want to fall asleep about an hour afterwards, right in the middle of a podcast.
And that's what you're about ready to do. What did you have on this pizza? You might as well tell us.
Oh, cheese, pepperoni, cheese, more pepperoni. And then, of course, we also had cheese bread, and we also had wings, and of course, I dipped everything in ranch.
Is this like a mom and pop pizza shop you went to?
I asked him the same thing.
I told Joe I'd tell him the name of the restaurant, but it's an Italian name, and you know Italians always have these weird names that are hard to pronounce. So
exactly.
Oh, Joe, you should take offense to that. You know, and then Joe Douglas has to give like a public apology for offending you.
Well, hey, you know, I was called tomato tomato, so I understand that sometimes names, last names, Italian names can be confused. But I'll give you a little tip. See, right when he was talking about eating a greasy pizza and getting him sick, I just assumed it was pepperoni. And here's a little trade secret that we do. When I'll make my homemade pepperoni pizzas, and I'll get like that big old Bridgeford pepperoni stick, and you slice it up, just heat it up in the microwave for about 25 seconds and degrease. It takes all that nasty grease out. And then when you put the pepperoni on, it's nice, crispy, good pepperoni. It's not burnt. But when it bakes with the pizza then, it's all degreased. You won't have that nasty greasy because I hate grease from the pepperoni on a pizza. It is gross. So degrease that son of a gun. So that's Joe's tip for the takeaway from dirt. So there you go. Now, T-Rex, what you got for us here?
I forgot to send this to Doug, and my apologies to Carson, but he had sent me a panel update from the mini comic, and I will use that to promote the podcast at some point this week. But he had painted a top panel, and to explain what it is a man eating plant that is a transport from Eternia to Etheria. So
just save it for next week. We'll show it next week. Just save
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll
so it's I, a I tease told, for I, something I, for people to tune into.
Yes. So tune in. Be sure to tune in next week. And all right, that's what I'll do. Carson, you hear this? I apologize for missing this again. I screwed the pooch this time, didn't I? So I'm going to save it now that I've told Doug and Joe about it. I have to make sure that next week will have it. So I will reveal that. Maybe Carson will have another image to share as well. So it's so slowly but surely the book is coming along, and I think people will appreciate that this retelling of the Leech mini comic for those who've forgotten what the hell I'm talking about.
Fantastic. Well, do you have a Filmation or a mini comic recommendation? Anything
that? I figured since it's Father's Day that the best episode to watch would be Prince Adam No More. So if you've had a good Father's Day, whether you are a father or you celebrated with your father, or you had a good Father's Day, I think watching Prince Adam No More is not only one of the best episodes of the entire series, period, of anything He-Man related. It's a damn good episode and gets better with age. It's a great father-son story that puts tension and turmoil between father and son and then wraps up nicely that father and son, you know, they love each other and they do care, and it turns out all right. And, you know, frankly, if I have to explain what Prince Adam No More is to you, I'm not going to do it because it's too good an episode for people listening to the show to have not seen it. But not to discount anybody who has come to the fold and is rediscovering He-Man, I will enlighten you here. It's from season one towards the tail end, towards the end of season one. I'm not going to explain it other than it's one of the best, and I will let the episode speak for itself. And Beastman is, if you go back and listen to our Beastman character bio, the episode is mentioned of that as well. So we've got a great father-son story, and Beastman's most triumphant episode in the entire He-Man series is in this episode as well. So if we had a Hall of Fame of episodes, Prince Adam No More is guaranteed a spot in the Hall of Fame of He-Man cartoons. So that is my recommendation for this week. And I want to wish, you know, Doug and everybody who's listening to us, whatever point you hear this, happy Father's Day to you, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or maybe, you know what, you get to it 6 months from now and you didn't get your happy Father's Day from us. Well, we're going to wish you happy Father's Day right now. So that way, when you do listen to it, we told you, happy Father's Day to all the He-Man fans that are fathers out there.
All right, yeah, because there was there's something called Oh the Humanity, that they always do these crazy things taking Filmation. pictures or frames, and then they make a story. There was one they did today for Father's Day. I shared it on my wall. It was actually pretty good. I'll just clean it up. But it was Prince Adam saying, "Oh, crap." That's the clean version. And I think King Randor said, "What's wrong?" And I think that's Prince Adam said, "Oh, I forgot it was Father's Day. I didn't get you anything," or whatever he said. And King Randor said, "Well, you know what? I forget a lot of things, too." And Prince Adam said, "Like what?" And then King Randor said, "Well, I forgot a condom the day I conceived you, you little bastard," or something. It was so stupid, you ungrateful bastard. It just cracked me up. I liked it. I was like, I don't know, I got a kick out of it. That the humanity was pretty good. So you gotta check that out. See, now you got me wanting to make sure I know exactly what it said. Shut up, Tyler. Hold on. Now I'm going to my wall. Everybody, I'm doing this live.
I should probably watch a marathon of crummy Will Ferrell movies tonight, aren't you?
Okay, well, here it is. It's Oh, the Humanity. And it says, 3 days later. So this is after Father's Day, obviously. And Prince Adam says, "Crap." But it wasn't that. He said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I forgot to get you something for Father's Day." He says, "That's okay, son. I forget things all the time, too." Prince Adam said, "Like what?" And King Randor said, "Like the time I forgot to wear a condom and ended up with an ungrateful bastard." I love it. That's fantastic. Oh my god, this is sick. You know you left it. That had me dying. I don't know why. Okay. Well, now that I'm ended with my the Humanity, let's just say go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to HeManWorld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group, all great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Hearing Joe say He-Man and poopy jokes and condom jokes just like takes all the wind out of my sails to do my wrap-up quote. So I'm going to do my best here to get it out.
He zinged him, though. He zinged Prince Adam. Okay, go ahead. What?
Joe's like, "He said he broke the condom and he forgot." It's like you ever hear that exaggeration of like Bill Cosby being made fun of on Family Guy, or something like, "In the pokey, in the bottom,
like Buntal."
Reading this, anyway. Okay, well, here is my closing quote. Here is like, "Keep your friends rich and your enemies rich, and find out which is which."
Jumped off the air.
That's from James Spader as Ultron in Age of Ultron.